It is Monday, September the 17th, 2012. I am Steve Roick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerweck.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And if you go there now at gerweck.net and check out the audio sections, you can check out previous podcasts and interviews that we've done in the past. And right now we're going to do a new interview. It's a pleasure to welcome a two-time WSU, that's Women's Superstars Uncensored Tag Team Champion, and she's currently the SW Spirit Champion. Today I give you Marti Bell. How are you doing today, Marti?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. We appreciate your time. I know you have a very busy schedule. Nice to schedule us for an interview today. We do appreciate
Thanks
that.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. And I think the first question we'd like to do, since you're someone that definitely has a following, but maybe on a national scale you're not as well known as maybe you will be someday, but obviously, you know, a lot of our followers on gerweck.net, the readers, are predominantly TNA, WWE fans. So for those that are maybe unfamiliar with you, can you give us a little bit about your background, where you came from, who you trained with, and how'd you get started in this wacky business of professional wrestling?
Sure thing. My name is Marti Bell. I'm 24 years old. I wrestle out of New York City, which is pretty much it's home base. I was born here, really young, moved to the Dominican Republic, lived there till I was about 7, moved back here not knowing a lick of English, started learning how to speak English when I was 7, became fluent by the time I was 9, and it's still the language that I speak, well, not anymore, but like when I was home, when I lived at home, that's the main language I spoke, which is awesome because I've maintained that it's still, I can still read, write, 100% fluent. I played a lot of sports in high school. I was varsity volleyball, varsity softball, and I also was involved in the arts since a very, very young age. Started dancing when I was super young, started doing my first play. I was, I believe, probably like 9 or 10, and I got booked to the lead. So I was like, wow, this is awesome. I did another show. Once again, like a lead role, like all the, I was just like continuous and was like, wow, this is awesome. High school, I was too busy playing sports, too busy, you know, doing everything else. Didn't do acting until my senior year. Auditioned, once again, got a lead role. I was like, wow, this is really awesome. I'm going to go to college for this. So I did. Fast forward, I was just, once I graduated, I was online looking for casting calls and whatnot on a website, a modeling website. And I saw a casting call for WUW, the World of Unpredictable Wrestling, which is Johnny Rods' school promotion. And they were just looking for girls to come down to the ring. Nothing, like no bumping, none of that. Just literally eye candy. Just, you know, just the pretty girls to walk down to the ring with. I grew up a huge wrestling fan. It was the first shows, like Raw, Nitro, Thunder. Those were the first shows I remember watching when I moved here. Because for wrestling, you don't need to understand the language to know what's going on. It's a very clear story, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, who you cheer for. It had nothing to do with me with being able to understand what they were saying. So I really got into that, and I was like, wow, this is a really cool opportunity. I want to go try to do it. So I went down. They, you know, they liked me. They were like, all right, we're going to, you know, bring you into the show. Did the show, fell in love with it. Did a couple more shows, and I was like, crap, I need to start training. At that point, I didn't have the money or the time that I wanted to dedicate to it. So I waited about a year, and a few days ago, September 1st, would have been 3 years, so I started training at Johnny Rods' school in Brooklyn, which was an interesting experience. It's been a cool, interesting, weird road to get to this point where I'm at now.
And, you know, it's interesting because you were talking that you grew up a wrestling fan, which I always find that interesting to find out if they're wrestling fans or not, because you've seen some people get into wrestling that really didn't have a big background and didn't watch it a whole lot, but yet, you know, later in life they thought it was interesting and you dive into it. But you were someone that said that, you know, you were a big wrestling fan. I guess two-part question here. Who was your all-time favorite wrestler? And you know, when you said you were watching wrestling and you could easily see the baby faces and the heels, and I think that's kind of universal for being a wrestling fan. When you watch a wrestling show, you want to know who the baby faces and heels are. Yet you find it today that in watching the products, either WWE, TNA, or either Ring of Honor or some of the other shows, sometimes it's kind of a blurry line between who the babyface and heels are in today's wrestling.
Yeah, I remember, it's really crazy. I always say maybe it's because I was in between learning two different languages, but most of my childhood was completely lost on me. Like, I remember most of my childhood, but I do remember being into wrestling because I used to watch it with three of my cousins, the four of us. Like, every week we used to just hang out. That was, like, our thing. We even have a book that I found in my mom's closet recently, like a year ago maybe, where we used to keep notes on everything wrestling. We used to watch the shows, keep notes and stuff. And I remember probably one of my favorites was always Chris Jericho. I just thought that Jericho was so freaking awesome. Like, it was beyond me how amazing he was. And I was also a big fan of tag team wrestling. I was really into Dudley, the Hardy, Edge and Christian. I loved Edge and Christian. But women-wise, I loved Molly Holly, loved Lita. Especially Molly Holly, to me, was just, she was everything that I ever wanted to be when I was a kid. She was so cool. She was this beautiful woman who was fearless, who did everything she wanted to do. I was like, wow, I want to be just like her. But when you say, you know, that line is so blurry, I think even back then it extends because I've been in shows where, like, you know, the promoter's like, all right, you're the heel, you're the face. But at the end of the day, it's not what the promoter wants. It's who the crowd wants. To be a heel, be a face, be a tweener, be in between, blah, 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 all that stuff. And I feel like it's hard sometimes because so much is lost. Like, I feel so old sometimes saying that, but I feel like I work for this one promotion where they wanted to turn me heel. And I was like, you're going to be a heel because you manage to be a heel person, blah, 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 cool. But the crowd just will not get over how much they like me. I will sit there, and they'll boo me. But then I'll do something, they'll cheer, and then they'll be like, oh, crap, no, we don't like her. And I have to sit there and I have to work so hard. I have to yell at each individual person, insult each individual person for them to be like, all right, we don't like her. But then I'll win the match and they'll be all excited. So it's like that line has just become so blurry because it's not about who, like what the promoter decides. Like, oh, you're going to be a heel, you're going to be a baby face. I feel like it's really just whoever the crowd can relate to at that moment. That's who heel is, that's who he faces. And I mean, that's just what it's evolved to, and that's kind of what, I don't disagree with it because at the end of the day, they're the ones watching. They're the ones that want to be entertained. They're going to choose who they want to be entertained by.
Talk a little bit about training with Johnny Rods because obviously he's a WWE Hall of Famer. He's had a hand in training a lot of the, you know, top superstars we see today. Yeah. Obviously the Dudley Boys, Big Vito, Tommy Dreamer, Taz, the former ECW mm-hmm. champion who's now a TNA announcer. So what's it like training with Johnny Rods?
Well, when I first met Johnny, you know, I've always heard, you know, Johnny's very, very old school. Johnny's been wrestling, or in the wrestling business since he was 18 years old, and he's in his 70s now. He's been wrestling for more than 50 years. He has so much knowledge, and he loves to talk. Like, when you get in his office and you sit down, he's going to be talking to you for hours. And he loves it. He'll talk to you about territory days, being in Japan, being in California, being in Puerto Rico. And there's just so much to learn from him. When I got there, Johnny wasn't getting in the ring as much anymore because, you know, obviously, the man can still take a bump. If he has to, he still does it. And when he has to get in the ring, he'll get in there. He'll be like, this is what it is. And he listens. But I feel like Johnny's just so old school that some of the things that we were learning aren't up to date. Or I, at Gleason's, at Johnny Rods, really just learned basics. He's so good with that. Like, he knows exactly what it is. Flashy guy. He doesn't do a cool moonsault or this and this. I never learned any of that stuff. I feel like I'm so basic. I'm so simple. That it's just my character that adds to whatever I do. But, like, really just end up learning the basics. And it really was like a big family where the older guys who had, you know, done things, you know, when we, you know, sent a cool message for WWE or back in the day, you know, worked with whatever, and even, like, guys like Strikers from there as well, Bill DeMont, who's from Gleason's. Like, those guys, you know, would come around every once in a while just to check on things, and Dudley's would stop by whenever they had a chance, and they wouldn't necessarily get in the ring, but, you know, they'd sit and they'd talk to Johnny and, you know, just give Johnny respect, because that's one thing. Like, I'm not really at Gleason's as much as I used to be. I haven't really been training there because I still train. I've moved on to a different school because I just felt like it was time for me to, you know, move on and learn from a different aspect. But there's so much that I owe to Johnny Rods, and that I will always, you know, have so much respect for him and everything he ever, you know, did or any knowledge he ever imparted on us.
Talk a little bit about wrestling for WSU, which is, you know, a all-women's company, and then there's obviously there's Shimmer out there. There's the Shine promotion in Florida that's running internet pay-per-views. Talk about, you know, kind of working for all women's wrestling groups and maybe the market right now. Is women's wrestling as a separate product, is that something that the general wrestling fans want to buy right now?
You know, I think because of the state of women's wrestling on television right now, where it doesn't have as big of a platform as it once did, you don't have the Litas, the Trish Stratuses, the Molly Hollies, the Ivory. You don't have all these girls on TV anymore. So I feel like a lot of wrestling fans who are really into women's wrestling, they're not just like rolling around in mud or, you know, doing lingerie matches, like who are really interested in seeing women's wrestling. And it's not just guys. There's a lot of women who are really into it as well. I feel like there is a bigger market for it because you're not getting it on TV. And if you, you know, you spend $60 to go watch and pay-per-view live or something, or, you know, I have it to watch. I mean, it's super expensive. You can, for $30, you can go to WSU show. For $20, you can go to this company. You can go to this company. And not just watch a five-minute match. You're sitting there watching a two-hour show with stories, with women who are actually out there wrestling. And there's so many different kinds of women wrestlers. Like, you know, we all vary. So it's, you really are, you're not getting just a cookie cutter, oh, really pretty girl, big boobs, or, you know, long blonde hair. You're getting so many different girls on just one show. I love working for WSU. I've been there now for over 2 years. March will be three. And it's amazing how close we all are. You think, like, oh, a bunch of girls, they probably hate each other. There's absolutely, like, no issues, no beef, no, like, jealousy. When one girl makes it, you're so happy for her. I love every single girl in that locker room. I can go to advice from, you know, I can go to Mercedes Martinez for advice, Jessica Havoc, whoever I need to. There's absolutely no problem. There's no egos, no, like, I'm better than you, I've been wrestling for 10 years. But, you know, especially when I first started, we used to have, like, a lot of TV girls come, like, especially a lot of TNA girls, or, you know, we've had Jillian Hall, we've had Melina, we've had all these girls who were on TV at some point, and they were just the sweetest, coolest girls. We want to talk, like, about everything, and I feel like it's so refreshing to be in a locker room where you're not, like, being in a guy's locker room, sometimes you're the only girl, guys are staring at you, guys are, like, oogling you, you're like, all right, there's no respect whatsoever. You go do a match, and nobody pays attention, everybody walks away. You know, go on the show, that's what they're there to see, they're excited about it. So I think it's so different. It's so refreshing. I'm actually starting to work with Shine as well. I'll be doing one of their upcoming shows soon. And I'm really excited for that, too, because it's a different set of girls. I haven't done Shimmer yet, but I would love to do it as well. I just, anywhere that gives women a positive platform to really perform is okay by me.
Obviously, we've seen in the past with WWE specifically, going back to maybe the Attitude Era, where we would see, you know, bra and panty matches, lingerie matches, putting women into a situation where they're just having their clothes removed for, obviously, the entertainment of the fans. Do you think that mentality that you came from kind of put women's wrestling back? Because, obviously, you go back to the 60s, the 70s, there were a lot of really good women's wrestlers. And then, you know, we saw in even the 80s, you know, Medusa was real, you know, Bull Meccano. And then in the 90s, we saw a little bit more, even though we were talking about Trish Stratus and Molly Holly, who were great wrestlers, Lita, that we started to see, you know, WWE really push the envelope and doing matches with Sable and Terry and Stacy Keibler, Tori Wilson, where it was all about getting as much clothing off as they could to entertain the fans. Do you think that style, I guess, for lack of a genre of entertainment, kind of pushed back women's wrestling to a certain degree?
I don't know if I would say that because I feel like that's just what the crowd was really into at that point. You know, you had girls who did a little bit of, like, you know, it would be like one hardcore match, I wouldn't necessarily say that was like the downfall because it's what the crowd wanted. It's what the women were allowing themselves to do as well, because I know obviously when you're living your dream and someone says this is what you want, it's hard to turn anything down. But at the end of the day, they didn't have to turn anything down. They could have said no. And I feel like they didn't have to, you know, do everything. But I feel like they did because that's just what they felt was necessary at that point. And I mean, I think what's really killed, or what's I really don't feel women's wrestling is dead, because when you go to, when Shimmer sells out in 2 days, when WSU has an on pay-per-view and, you know, a house is full, Shine has been doing well, obviously wrestling, women's wrestling is still alive, and there's still many fans who are very into it. But I really just think it's how it's been treated on TV, because, like you said, not every wrestling fan knows about Shimmer or WSU or Shine. Every wrestling fan knows about the Knockouts, so it's about the Divas. I think it's just there hasn't been story development being done on TV, or women aren't getting the spotlight anymore. Where, you know, back then, there were women who were headlining. They were the main event. It's not happening that way anymore. So I feel like that's more or less of what's really become, like, not the demise, but the downfall of everything.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked to a lot of talented women that can actually wrestle, but I was thinking back to that period. And, you know, a lot of the women they were putting on television were really just eye candy. I was thinking like Deborah and Terry Runnels, you know, say Stacey Keibler. I don't think we ever trained to wrestle. Tori Wilson was a fitness model they put into, you know, WWE ring. Actually, came from WCW. So they had girls out there that really weren't trained wrestlers, that were just, you know, very pretty, had a nice body, nice figure, but they weren't trained. And now we're seeing, even with WWE and TNA now, you know, you got the Knockouts, you got the Divas, where they are bringing in women that can actually wrestle, that have a background in women's wrestling. Which is good to see. Obviously, at one point, TNA was doing very well with the Knockouts division. That was one of the more popular segments, was the Knockouts, when they had, you know, originally Gail Kim and Amazing Kong at that time. You know, yeah, people, the beautiful people, the people were tuning in to see that. So it's good to see that there is fans out there that want to see women wrestling rather than just bra and panties matches.
Yeah.
And now, maybe we're seeing wrestling, you know, maybe it's evolving into something where we're going to see more women's wrestling. We saw WWE actually hire Sarah Del Rey, who's one of the most talented women out there, has been wrestling for so long, and finally she gets a contract. So maybe that's a sign that, you know, WWE and TNA are both looking for more athletic women wrestlers.
I mean, if you see the women that are signed currently to, you know, developmental, there's, you know, Buggy Nova, who was a wrestler on the West Coast. You have Tennille, who came from, you know, Lance Storm, originally Australian. You have, who else is there now? That's, well, you know, they had Eva Lise, who was wrestling for so long. And even, like, they just hired a new girl, Anya, who's from Russia. And, yeah, she might have a wrestling background, but if you look into her background, she has a crazy, like, kickboxing background, like, crazy martial artist, world-renowned. So there's hope that there's, like, and it's a beautiful girl. It's not taking absolutely anything away from them. Beautiful, gorgeous girls, but they have some sort of sports background, some sort of wrestling background. I mean, I feel like there's hope, because as you said, they did become for a while, which is kind of like just really pretty girls, you know, just really pretty girls on TV and not necessarily knowing how to do anything. But even like, look at somebody like, what's her name? Rosa, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very pretty, very beautiful girl. Not much of a wrestler, so they're not putting her on TV to wrestle every week. They're, you know, putting her with Primo and Epico. Perfect. That's a great role for her. I mean, girls like Caitlyn, AJ, are being showcased more for, like, upcomers and who are, you know, obviously, you look back to when they first started on TV to now, they've grown so much. And those are the kind of girls that, you know, kind of give you a little bit of hope, like, all right, this is possible.
Well, I think it's interesting because obviously the mentality with WWE for a long time was they were hiring a lot of fitness models.
Yep.
You know, they were bringing in Kelly and Alicia Fox. Both were fitness models before they became wrestlers. And so they – obviously they're way behind because they didn't have that wrestling background. They were hired as pretty girls. Then they had to go to developmental, get a crash course in wrestling, and suddenly let's put them on television versus so many women wrestlers out there that have been training, have had – you know, upteen matches they've wrestled everywhere. They've wrestled in all the different territories. And that's, I think, one of the things with WWE's talent overall, where it used to be where they would hire guys from different territories that had trained for a long time, had done a lot of, you know, big time matches. And now they can do that with women, and they really can do that with men too. There are enough independent workers out there that wrestle for a long time independently before they get a sniff of, you know, who WWE is or TNA, or they get a sniff of them and say, oh yeah, you're so and so, and you've got this great track record, you got this great resume. You know, maybe we'll bring you in, give you a tryout.
Well, I mean,
finally.
You can look at someone like Daniel Bryan. It took what, almost 10 years.
Right.
The Kings of Wrestling took them how long? It took them a very long time. These are guys that you look at, you know, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli. You look at these guys and you're like, I don't understand why these guys not currently on TV. Like, what's going on? And it took so long. And it's like, wow, that's kind of mind blowing. But even if you look at all the guys that are currently on, like, FCW, there's a lot of amazing, amazing, like, guys on there, you know, Moxley, Brody Lee, you know, Claudio and Chris Hero, all these guys that came from, you know, busting their ass on the indies for however many years and finally getting that spot to shine. And they've taken the ball and they're running with it. It's just, you know, Claudio's already on TV. He's already a U.S. champion. That's amazing. When, you know, a year ago, he was still, you know, trying to get that spot, and he's there now. And it's like, wow, that's freaking awesome for them. So I feel like there's hope for everybody all around.
Exactly. I guess you've been in the business for about 5 years now, training, doing wrestling matches.
I spent a year as a manager, but I've only been really wrestling. I've only been training for 3 years, and I don't even have 3 years having matches yet, which is when I count, you know. So I'm less than three, or less than four, I guess.
Okay, so, you know, you got a limited number of years. I just wondered, in these years that you've been active, have you either reached out to WWE or TNA? Have they reached out to you? Have you had any contact with either company thus far?
Yes and no with both. With WWE, of course, you know, I always sent my stuff in. I had, like, the very old-school mentality where, like, oh, I'm going to send tapes in. Not tapes in. I'm going to send my DVDs in and send some pictures in, see what happens. And I did that, I guess, for so long that finally I got a phone call from Norman Smiley. He was like, you know, I admire your persistency, but it doesn't come from us. It comes from up north. Like, Connecticut has to give the okay for us to give the try. We can't just give the tryout. But, you know, I met him when I was in Florida. I spoke to him. He sat down and watched a match with me and, you know, gave me a couple pointers and just said, you know, I'm gonna forward this to the right people. That was more than a year ago, and nothing ever came from it. With TNA, I did a show, which was in Jersey. It was very random, but they had Kurt Angle on the show. And Kurt Angle seemed to be really into me. He was like, make sure you give all your info to, you know, the guy who was, like, their on-the-road agent or whatever. Like, make sure you give all your, you know, make sure you give all your stuff to him. He came up to me. Then, you know, their agent came up to me. He's like, yeah, you know, we have an idea for you. I'm going to present it to Russo. He's going to love it. Nothing ever came from it. But I feel like I'm young and I'm not done. I'm very persistent. And every opportunity that I get, I'm going to, you know, grab that with both hands. So it's just got to keep knocking on the door so someone answers, or I have to break it down.
That's all you can do. You let them know that you're out there and that you're interested.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Obviously, you know, you only been wrestling for a short time, and in the business for a short time. What do you consider your biggest strength thus far, and what do you think is your biggest weakness, something you need to work on to become a better wrestler?
I feel like I can talk. Obviously, I've been talking for an hour now. But I'm a very, like, even in the ring, I'm so comfortable. I think it comes from my, you know, my acting background, doing improv, all that stuff. I have no problem if someone's like, we need you to promo. I'm like, all right, cool, let's go. I have a book. I'm very very old school in that sense. I have a book where I write, like, anything that seems interesting to me, any, like, quote that I'm like, oh, I'll pull it out. I'm like, all right, cool. But if I have to, on top of my head, I was like, oh, cut a promo now. I'm like, okay, cool, got it. That's probably my biggest thing, like, personality-wise. I myself in the ring. I don't feel like I have to put a character on. So I don't feel, like, I know some people are like, oh, I don't know how to act because I'm this other person. I myself 100%. Like, there's no, I'm just myself. So I know how to be myself. That's very easy for me. Weaknesses, but probably I feel like I'm still not strong enough, or I'm still not where I should be. I'm extremely critical of myself. I can come back to the car and be like, wow, that was a great match. I'm like, no, this was off and this was off. I need to work on this. So it's little things that I think I can improve on, even just like basics. I feel like you can never have enough basics. So it's all stuff that I'm working on a lot now. I'm, you know, training all as much as I can and just trying to work on all that stuff.
What did your friends and family think when you told them you wanted to get into wrestling?
When I first, the first people, I think the first person I told was my cousin, one of my cousins. I told her and she was like, why? No, no. Just keep, you know, just stay that lane. Like, that's all you need to do. Like, just manage them. That's it. Sister was really against it because, you know, she wasn't a big wrestling fan, but we used to watch it when we were younger. She remembers Attitude Era. She's like, in her mind, I was going to be a thong rolling around the ring. But she was like, no, no, no. And then, you know, as I was like, well, sorry, guys, like, it's happening. I'm not going to stop. Like, I'm not just going to, this isn't going to stop me. So I had a training, had my first match. My parents don't live here. My parents live in Dominican Republic. All my cousins came out. My cousins who were like, no, we're totally against it, came out and supported me 100%. A lot of people in the show. As time evolved, they started seeing how much I was into it, how, and everybody started, like, coming around more. Last January, I took a trip to the Dominican Republic, and I wrestled there. It was the first time my parents had ever seen me wrestle live. My father cried. Like, he was so excited about, like, looking and seeing, because, you know, I've been doing this for enough now that they see it's not just, oh, she'll get over it. Like, they know I'm serious about this. And I feel like finally, like, that show and seeing the crowd and all that stuff and seeing everybody go crazy made my parents accept it so much more. My mother's always just been like, whatever you want to do, we'll support you. When I went to acting school, they were like, are you sure this is what you want? Why don't you know? I'm the only one in my family who didn't go to, like, a set college. I went to an acting school. They're all like, really? Like, my dad's a veterinarian. You know, my mom owns her business. Everybody's very school-oriented, and I was like, you know, I'm going to be different. So they were like, all right, we'll support you. So I finally think, like, everybody's come around. Like, at my job, I think I'm crazy, and they love it. To them, it's like, it's funny, and it's a fun thing for them. But, I mean, everybody pretty much supports me. It's like, all right, girl, you go get yours.
That's awesome. Are you a student of the game? Do you like to watch other older matches and kind of learn from it? And do you have, like, a favorite period in wrestling that you like to go back and watch some matches from?
Especially now with Netflix. Like, YouTube, of course, is, like, the number one source for everything. But I feel like with Netflix especially, like, we watch a lot of, at my house, my boyfriend and I will just sit on the couch and we'll watch, you know, old WCW DVDs, or we'll watch, like, I wasn't allowed to watch ECW when I was a kid. Like, when it was actually on TV, I wasn't allowed to watch it. So now going back, we can watch it. And there's so much you can learn from, because all that stuff is, it's recent enough where the things are still relevant, even though there's, of course, you know, you have to tweak everything. And even watching, like, older stuff, like you said, Boom, Medusa, all these people that you will look back, Luna, like, all these girls were so different, and I feel like so beyond or so ahead of their time. I can watch and be like, wow, all right, this is really cool. I can learn from this. And, of course, you want to stay current because you want to know what's going on at the moment, especially on TV. So I try watching, you know, all the stuff that's happening at the moment as well.
What's your thoughts on the current product of TNA WWE? Are you enjoying the product right now, or is it one that makes you kind of scratch your head at times?
I think everything has its, like, its pluses and its negatives. You can watch everything and be like, what? Like, that just really happened? I don't get it. But then I also sometimes watch things and I'm like, wow, that was really cool. That was a great match. Like, wow, they really, you know, they're going somewhere with this. So I think there's both. The Divas and the Knockouts, they both, they're so different. They both bring different things to the table. And you can learn so much from, you know, each one. There's very strong women in each division. You have, you know, Gail Kim, who I think is amazing. Tara / Victoria, who is one of my all-time favorites, too, because she's so amazing, even now. And then you have on the other side, you know, you have Natalia, you have Beth. You have these girls, and I'm just like, wow, these girls are freaking awesome. So there's a little bit of both on both. There's a little bit of good on both sides. And, of course, there's always things that, as a fan, because above all, I'm still a fan, you're going to nitpick and be like, oh, I didn't understand that. But overall, I still think it's watchable. I can watch both products.
Two-part question. Who are the biggest influences in your ring style, And then to someone that's never seen you wrestle before, how would you describe your in-ring style?
I think above all, I'm extremely fun. So, like, when you watch me, I hope you're having fun because I'm having fun, and I want to, you know, I want to project that. I don't know who I would say I take after, because I feel like I just take from everybody. If I see something I find interesting or a style I like or something, I grab from them. I got Triple H chance this weekend because my finisher is a sit-out pedigree, because I figure it's something that I can do with everybody. But the person I was doing it to was a guy, and he was really big. So I fell to my knees instead of sitting out with it because I wasn't sure I was going to get my legs all the way around him. I got Triple H chance. But I don't think I'm no way like a Triple H kind of performer. I really don't know. I feel like, you know, I think everybody should just come to my shows and then they'll find out.
Yeah, very well said. Talk about some of your common opponents and some of the opponents or people you got to work with that maybe you idolized. I know, for instance, like you've worked with Jazz, tagged with her before. What's it like, kind of meeting somebody that you kind of admire and all of a sudden you're in the ring with them?
It's crazy. Our first WSU show, Jazz was on it. Molly Holly was on it. I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is really my life right now. These are people that I grew up watching. And like I said, idolizing, just being like, wow, this girl's so awesome. Sweetest girls ever. Molly Holly has to be one of the sweetest, most good-hearted, kind people that I've ever met in my entire life. Like, she's amazing. And Jazz was so cool. She's such a badass. I love her. I think she's amazing. And I really wish we would have gotten to work more, because we only got to work that one match where we became tag team champions, which is pretty cool, because then we got to defend the titles under Freebird rules. So after that, I unfortunately didn't get to work with her again, but it's just amazing. And it's like, it's cool just how much you can learn from just sitting and just watching matches and watching people work or listening when people are telling stories and stuff. Ivory came to one of our shows. We had her inducted into our Hall of Fame. And just listening to her talk was amazing. I feel like I learned so much from just sitting there with her for that hour. Like, I was like, wow, this is so cool. So that was a pretty cool experience as well.
Yeah, that's to learn from Jazz and Molly Holly and Ivory. Those are three great role models, I think, for any young aspiring women's wrestler. So that's awesome. Yeah, for sure. How about talking about some of the titles you've won? Obviously, you got a two-time WSU Tag Team Champion and also winning the Spirit Championship. Talk about winning the championships.
The first time that Tina, my partner, me and Tina San Antonio came into WSU together because we trained together. We started coming up together, so we were partners for I think wrestled like one show together outside of WSU, and we came to WSU. And I feel like the crowd just really got behind us because I feel like with Tina and I, the Bell Saints, we were so different, just from everybody in general on the roster, but also from each other. We were so different every way. Tina was more the serious wrestler, and I was more like the fun and just want to have a good time and wrestle kind of thing. And I feel like it worked so much for everybody because everybody could relate to it. If you couldn't relate to her, you could relate to me. You know, Tina's this beautiful, green eyes, long blonde hair, which is all real for the record. People always ask if she has extensions. She does not. She has beautiful, natural, this gorgeous blonde hair. And then here I was, little Latina, little Spitfire, big black hair, and I think people just managed to really like either one or the other or both. So winning that, and especially with her, was so awesome because this is a person that I had, my first match with. This is a person that pushed me to become better, that I pushed her, and, we gave each other advice. We helped each other out as much as we could. So to win this with her was, like, such a, like, a, just a cool, awesome thing. And then winning it with Jazz was amazing as well because it was like, this is really happening. I went from sitting on my couch to watching this girl on TV to literally standing next to her, having my hand raised. And then I just won the Spirit Championship at our last show. And that was also such an amazing thing too because it's like, I beat Jessica Havoc, who I loved, and Jessica has only had two losses in like the last 2 years. I beat Jessica Havoc, And then Mercedes Martinez came out, raised my hand, hugged me, and told me, you deserve this. You did this. You deserve this. And I felt like I was going to be on the verge of tears just because Mercedes is also somebody that I respect a lot and someone whose work I admire. And from the day we came to WSU, she's always been like, you know, like a big sister in the locker room where she's, you know, willing to help everybody out. And just it felt so awesome having my hand raised by her and have her say, like, you deserve this. This is your moment. I was like, wow, this is mind-blowing. And once again, it's like I'm coming full circle. Like, it's just it was a great experience.
Talk about your training and your diet. How do you stay in such great shape?
God. So I'm probably the worst. I eat everything and anything all the time. And I've just recently, like, I really don't eat a lot of fast food. I've cut most of that stuff out. But, like, I can't put down ice cream. I can't put down, like, chocolate, stuff like that. And I really didn't work out a lot because I played so many sports in school. I was always so active. I was dancing. I was doing this. I had the crazy metabolism. I had no reason to not work out. So I was never in shape. I was just skinny. And then as I started wrestling, I started putting on weight. I've gone up more than 30 pounds in the last, like, year and a half, which scared me. I'm a girl at the end of the day. Weight still scares me. But obviously, they always tell you, you know, muscle is heavier than fat. So you are, and I feel like I'm also 24 years old, and I'm a Dominican female, so my body's going to, you know, eventually start evolving into what it's supposed to look like. So I'm trying to work out as much as I work out now at least 4 days a week, minimum. I try to do it 4 days a week. If I can do more, even better. My boyfriend's really into working out. He's in really awesome shape. Like, he looks amazing, and he's always, you know, he loves going to the gym. So that motivates me because I'm like, I'm not going to just sit at home. I'm going to go to the gym with him. And he eats very well. Like, you know, last night we came home, we were starving, so he made some chicken. So we had just some, you know, some grilled chicken for dinner. So I feel like I'm starting to get better because I at the end of the day, we're still trying to work. Our body is still what? Our body is still our business. You want to make sure you look good. You want to look the part. I don't want to be, you know, having to cover up because I don't look a certain way anymore, having to get new gear because I don't fit my gear. So it's like I'm evolving into what I should be now. So, yeah.
That's a good transition to my next question. Who came up with your ring gear?
I did, actually. Actually, it was more Tina. One time was at a club. Like, she was celebrating her friend's birthday, and this girl walked in, and she was like, oh, my God, I love your outfit. Like, where'd you get this outfit? And she's like, I made it. I'm a designer. Here's my card. Her name is Tiffany Rose. She runs Butch Diva. Butch Diva, when we first started getting stuff made from her, you know, she was starting to break out. She was starting to break out, you know, climbing up. Now she's, like, designing for Beyonce, Lady Gaga. Like, everybody's wearing her stuff. She just did Fashion Week. So my shorts are hers. And my first pair of shorts were hers as well. The top was Tina's idea. She said, I saw a really cool top I think you should wear. So I put it on. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I started buying it in every single color I could find. And then the other shorts came from, I wrestled a match in Ohio when I used to just wear my black shorts. And I saw pictures, and I'm like, holy crap. You can see way too much. There's too much showing. So I just put shorts on there, and then from there it kind of just evolved. And my boots are so heavy, and everybody tells me I should stop wearing boots and start, you know, wearing wrestling sneakers, but I can't. I just refuse to. So I stick to my boots, and I stay grounded. I also started making my gear. I started making my own bras, like designing my own bras and stuff, which is time-consuming, but really cool to see the end result. I wore my first one at Evolve last weekend, and it was pretty cool. It actually held up, which I'm pretty proud of. You'll be seeing more of those soon.
Cool. Now, you do dancing, modeling, acting, wrestling. I guess, you know, at this point, what is your ultimate goal? If you could, you know, if you could go 5 years from now and you'd be in the job you wanted to be in, what would it be? And what is your career goal right now?
My goal is to just wrestle. I want to make a living out of wrestling. I do so many things outside of wrestling. You know, I have a regular 9-to-5 or 8:30 to 6 job, which is so so grueling, so time-consuming, and it feels at this point where I'm working, like, two full-time jobs, because wrestling, for me, is a full-time job. Between, you know, now going to the gym, between traveling for shows, I don't have a free weekend. Like, I don't have any free time for myself. I want wrestling my full-time career, where all I have to worry about is, I don't have to worry. I have to sometimes turn shows down because I'm like, oh, wow, the show's kind of far away. I won't be able to make it home in time. Sorry, I have to turn it down. But, like, where I can just be like, oh, I have to be in Chicago tomorrow? Cool. Awesome. No problem. No worries about, like, oh, man, I have to make sure I'm back Monday morning or Tuesday morning. I really just want to make wrestling my all-time career and do that as long as my body possibly allows me to. And then from there, you know, who knows? I want to have a family. You know, I want a bunch of little kids running around the house. And for now, it's just my goal is to be able to wrestle because I know, I mean, I'm 24, that's not old, but, you know, in 5 years, I won't be young anymore. In 6 years, I won't be young anymore. I'm going to be a little bit older, a little bit, you know, up there. So I want to make sure I get out of my body as much as I can while I can because I don't want to be 50 or 60 crawling to the ring because there's nothing else I know how to do. I want to be able to, you know, I want to be my prime. I want to be healthy and be able to do all that stuff.
What's been the best advice somebody has given you in the wrestling business thus far?
I mean, I know everybody says this and everybody's heard this before, but keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Listen to everything and everyone. And I, especially like when I first started training, you know, somebody would tell you something, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. But then you see it like, oh, wow, okay, I guess it does make sense. Or, you know, people are always going to have different opinions. Like, you're going to be training with somebody, and they'll tell you one thing, and then you go somewhere else, and somebody else tells you another thing. It's just about listening to everything and everybody, and then be like, okay, this makes sense for me. I'm going to tweak this to work how I want. I also was always, somebody gave me, like, just the advice, just keep it clean. Just stay, you know, stay away from drugs. Don't, like, I'm not a big partier. I used to hang out. I used to, you know, I'm from New York. You know, we party here when we're young. I used to go to clubs. I used to go to parties, all this stuff when I was younger. So now that I'm older, like I'm over it. I'm done. I have my priorities straight. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to just go out and get wasted because that was nothing for me. So, like, you know, keep everything. Keep no crazy excess. Too much of anything is bad. Have fun and just enjoy yourself. And that's what I, you know, it's really what I try to do. I just try to enjoy every single time I get in the ring and every opportunity I get. I just try to really enjoy myself.
It's a good attitude to have. I just wondered who would be your, like, your dream opponent right now. I know you're talking about you're a big fan of Tara. You talked about you know, Molly Holly, who doesn't really wrestle anymore, but was a great women's wrestler in her day. Ivory, of course, was a great women's wrestler. Who would be like a current opponent or a current wrestler that you'd like to wrestle as a kind of a dream opponent?
Jazz for wrestling. I would still love to wrestle Jazz because, you know, being able to wrestle somebody that you idolized as a kid would be like, you know, be mind-blowing. I'd love to wrestle Jazz. I would love a match with Tara because I feel like she's so good still. She can still go so well. And she still looks amazing. I just want to meet her and be like, tell me your secret. What do you do? Like, how can... She's amazing. So she, and she's somebody that you watch and she's still so crisp. She's still so on point. And I know she's somebody that's really into helping, you know, up-and-coming people. She loves to give advice. She loves to, you know, train people and stuff. And she's definitely someone that's up there. That's really up there on that list of who I want to work with.
Yeah, she's incredible. I mean, it's hard to believe she's, what, 40 or 41 years old now?
Yeah,
she looks amazing. She can tear it up in the ring. So she is very amazing when it comes, when it's all said and done.
She can probably go, like, she's stronger, looks better than people my age. Like, she looks better than I do. And I'm like, crap, I'm almost half her age. And she can almost be her mother. And she's like, oh, she's on it. She's on point. She looks amazing. So she's somebody that I definitely really respect and admire. And I've heard, like, she's such a sweetheart. She's such a nice little, like, such a nice person. So definitely somebody that I would love to.
You know, some people just get better with age, I guess. So
she's
definitely one of them.
Definitely.
Right. What should you prefer, being a baby face or a heel?
I don't know. I think anything. I really don't have a preference. I'm usually a baby face. That's what I, you know, when I started training, that's kind of what I was. And But I love being a heel. I think it's so fun. Being a heel is so much more fun. You know, because it's being mean. Being mean but not being malicious is so fun. And you don't get to do that every day without getting in trouble. So it's really fun to be able to do that.
Any injuries suffered in the ring so far?
Knock on wood, nothing too serious. You know, nothing.
I'm knocking right now.
Well, so am I. It's not like I'm 3 feet. nothing crazy. Just, you know, sore everything. My neck is killing me right now. My back hurts right now from my match the other day because I took a stupid bump. But besides that, I mean, thankfully, everything's good.
If somebody wants to check out your work, your in-ring work, is there like a YouTube match you suggest or a DVD for fans to check out?
My match with Jessica Havoc from the 2012 King and Queen event was pretty cool. That was a match that I think kind of showed, especially WSU fans, that I was tough because nobody expected me to be able to go toe-to-toe with her. At one point, she put me on her shoulders and she, I call it Bam Bam Bigelow. She took me and just flipped me to the outside to the crowd from the top rope. It was fun. It was interesting. It was an interesting fall. And I got back up and I got back in the ring. So that's probably a really cool one to watch. It's just one of my more recent things, because if you start watching my old things in WSU, you'll see the evolution. You'll see how things have changed and how things are becoming, you know, a little more established. Like I've grown into myself as of late.
As we wrap with you today, can you go ahead and plug your social media? I know you're on Facebook. I think you have a fan page as well. You're on Twitter. Any websites you'd like to plug, and any upcoming appearances that you'll be making that you'd like to also plug and let the fans know about?
You can check out facebook.com/MartyBellSP. That's my fan page. My regular Facebook is filled up, and I don't really update it anymore, so there's no point in going there. But I'm huge on Twitter. I love to tweet, and I answer back everything. It's just twitter.com/MartyBell. My buddy Malcolm runs an awesome website, I know it's called in English.
A dash, maybe?
Dash! That's what it is. Marty-Bell.com. And he updates that as regularly as he can. And, you know, you'll see all the info coming up there. I do have a couple matches coming up. WSU returns October 13th to the NYWC Arena in Deer Park. It's going to be an awesome, awesome show. And, you know, we're really excited to be coming back. I'm also making my debut for Glow, for PWS's Glow. That's also October 11th. And I just started working for Evolve. And we'll be, I believe in November, they'll be announcing the date soon. I should be working those shows as well. So please come out and support, you know, buy some pictures. Just talk to me. Let's have fun. I'm very approachable. I love to talk to people, so really interesting.
Absolutely. So check out Marty on her Facebook page, on Twitter. You can check her out live. Of course, there's some DVDs out there. And on YouTube, you can check out some of her matches as well. And we really enjoyed talking to you today, getting to know you a little bit better. We, of course, did an interview with your former tag team partner, Tina San Antonio, which you can check out at the archives at girlwick.net or iTunes. And we really enjoyed chatting with you today. We wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.